Everybody, welcome to Volume 1, Issue 1 of Marvel Champions Monthly, where we're talking about the Marvel Champions card game by Fantasy Flight Games. This is our first full-time issue, so we got a lot of topics to talk about today. Just wanted to give a shout-out to my co-hosts, so I'll let them introduce themselves again.
This is Crimson.
And it's me, Lester.
Hey guys, today we're going to jam about a lot of things, but we're going to start out by talking about the core set for this game. So the core set hasn't come out yet, but should come out in October, most likely late October based on what we've seen. But the core set for this game is unlike any other Fantasy Flight card game we've seen. So it's a Marvel Comics based LCG, and it's a cooperative game that comes with five different heroes and different aspects that you can pair them with to display their heroic traits. And then it comes with villains you can fight and modules that you can mix in. There's lots of different iterations and ways that you can mix the villains with different sets together to create a bunch of different experience just in the core set. So let's talk about the core set a little bit. What do you guys like about the core set that you've seen so far spoiled?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that I like about the core set is that you only have to buy one.
Now, I'm wondering, though, if you wanted to build certain decks or have certain decks on hand, I think that the only needing one is kind of a fallacy. Having to do with the unique rule where you can only have one of any unique card in your deck. But I have a feeling if you wanted to build a whole bunch of decks with unique cards, you may need more than one core set.
Yes. If you want to build 5, 6, 8, 12 decks, you're going to need a lot more core sets. If you want a playset of everything to make a deck, any deck, one core set will do the trick for you. You could squeeze out two decks if they're opposite aspects, but most people who are going to play this in a casual environment will probably get one core set for a group. Most of us who spend a little bit more time and money on card games will probably get one core set per person. And then the whales of us will get three or four core sets to make a huge amount of decks.
Yeah, so it's safe to assume that we could have one core set per player.
Yeah, and even without the one core set per player, I think that what stands out compared to other LCGs is in the past you'd get an LCG and a lot of times you wouldn't even have the full game. Like, I think the Game of Thrones core set, you couldn't even make a legal deck because you only had one of a bunch of cards. You had to buy two or three copies before you could actually make a legal deck. Here you can at least make four legal decks and play with three friends right out of the box.
Yeah, and as a solo player, that's actually, that is a super keen, awesome thing for me. I'm really excited about that. It seems because of that design decision and production decision that I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of just one core set. Like, I'll be able to play for months exploring just a single core set, which is really exciting.
Yeah, we don't know when it comes out yet. They've announced the FFG stream times for October, and there's a giveaway stream at the end of the month. And if you read the little text underneath it, it says, to celebrate the soon-to-be-released Marvel Champions card game. So people are thinking it's going to be right after that end of October stream.
I've heard through a little bit of the grapevine that October 19th is the current unofficial release date. It's supposed to come out on the 19th.
I've also heard the 19th rumor. That rumor is based off of a website that put it up saying release October 19th. It may be true, or it may be close.
Yeah, other things for release, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's an OP kit, I guess, you can purchase, or a launch kit your store can purchase that comes with promos and playmats and stuff. So if your stores haven't gotten on it, listeners, get on it soon, so you can make sure you're in for that.
I kind of wish those were more available to just the general public if you want to purchase them. You know, maybe give a deal to stores so they can get it for less, but I feel like the collector in me would love to be able to access those without having to have that store moniker or whatever in order to get my hands on that content.
eBay, you're looking at about 170.
But then they scalp Yeah, but then they scalp you on eBay, right? You could find some sort of happy medium, I think, if Fantasy Flight Games produced more of that, like a larger volume at least.
The nice thing with the kit is it usually comes with multiples of stuff in it. So if you got a play group of a couple people, you guys can go in on it, or you could get what you want out of it and sell off the rest.
Yeah, I know we had two local stores get a copy, so I'm hoping that between the two events that still we don't know what days they are yet, I'll be able to hit up at least one of them.
Yeah, and I'm going to be talking to my local store here too, just to double check with them.
Yeah, I wonder what the plan is for release day events, like if they have anything in the pipe that they're suggesting to the stores. I mean, I'm not going to really be around a local game shop. If I were, I would love to be running some sort of like learn how to play event or something for launch, because I really believe in the legs of this game. I think it has a potential to really blow up.
Yeah, one of my local stores pretty much told me they expect me to run it, so now I guess I have to figure that out. But yeah, the core set's pretty cool. We've heard rumors that there's a cool insert in the core set that can actually hold all the decks, which is something that I still struggle to believe based on all the LCGs I bought, so I'm excited to see what it looks like.
You would assume that, like, yeah, I feel the same way because I've collected quite a few of those LCGs, and you would have assumed that earlier, maybe even around the first Star Wars card game or something, they would have made some sort of solution for that, because that is a big, I think that's a big turnoff point for a lot of people I know, is how big and vast the collections can be, and then there's no like inbuilt organizational option. You have to kind of outsource for that.
One of the cool things in the core set, like we said, it comes with five heroes, and then four different aspects you can play as. So the heroes are Spider-Man, She-Hulk, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and who did I say, guys? I skipped someone.
Iron Man, come on, dude.
Oh, Iron Man, yeah, that boring guy.
Like he is pretty much the poster boy of Marvel as of the MCU.
Yeah, for sure. And then the aspects you compare them with are Justice, which kind of focuses on controlling the villain, Aggression, which focuses on beating up the villain, Protection, which defends against it, and Leadership, which supports like characters and like NPC characters on your side of the field. So what's your favorite hero and aspect pairing? If you've played so far, tell us that you've played it, and if you haven't, that you're most excited to play.
Oh, this one's so easy for me. She-Hulk Justice.
Is that for solo or multiplayer?
Either, both, all of it. She-Hulk is thick.
I've been reading a lot of the newer Captain Marvel comics recently, and I'm actually really excited. I think she, like, looking at kind of her card suite, and I'm really excited to play that. And then I just kind of want to kick ass, and I believe Aggression has the most amount of energy symbols as resources on the cards, and she kind of has this neat interplay with the energy resource. So I kind of wanted to try Captain Marvel Aggression. That kind of seems really appealing to me. I don't know how well that would fly in solo play, which, like I said, is mainly the way I'm going to play.
So I've got two decks I've been jamming. I've been doing a lot of Black Panther leadership because he comes with an ally, and we'll talk about this later, but leadership lets you recur that ally, which is really good. And this week I've been playing, it's actually similar to what you said, but I've been playing Iron Man Justice because Justice is actually, they're very close. It's like 1 point difference, but Justice in the core set has the most lightning bolt resources. Or the energy resources. And that's what you really need as Iron Man and Captain Marvel to like optimize your decks, I think.
Okay, so then I changed my idea. I'll play Justice Captain Marvel, because I just that interaction, yeah, I just think that interaction seems so neat, like that layer of the game where a card is a card, it has its own intrinsic value, it can be used as a resource just generally, but then the fact that there's that layer to it where you can use specific types of resources to really flesh out all sorts of different design space. Like, it's, I don't know, I'm super intrigued to see how that clicks, because I want that to kind of color sort of the way I start speculating about how they produce other heroes down the line.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite thing about this game, how the cards are resources themselves. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they balance like a card versus its resource type. They might have to limit some card because they know if it has a certain resource type, it'll be an auto include in a deck. So they, it gives them like this extra trigger to balance, which is really cool.
Yeah, I really like how they make it too with your like in like the hero cards. They get what, 15 card? It's a 15 card suite for every hero?
So far, yeah.
So I really like how that has a myriad of different resource types. Because Hulk is an aggression character, right?
Yes.
And then I really like how he triggers off of all the different types of resources. So maybe we should go over that, like what the different types of resources are.
Yeah, so there's four resource types. Three resource types, really, but a fourth, like wild type. So there's energy. There's mental, so energy is yellow, mental is blue, and there's aggression, which is red. So there's three different colors of resources. All the colors pretty much pay as like a neutral color when paying for the cost of a card, but some cards will trigger and they'll say, if you spent a physical resource, get this bonus. And then green is like the wild card resource. So they can put, so far mostly things have been one resource, but there's a couple cards that have been two or three, a different number of resources on each card, and then a different resource type. So like we've been saying, there's some cards in Iron Man and Captain Marvel's deck where they say, get a bunch of energy resources or get a bunch of mental resources. So you kind of use that as an extra deck building facet.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the potential behind that mechanic for sure.
So She-Hulk Justice, what's been the most exciting about that for you?
Well, with She-Hulk Justice, first off, any character that runs Justice is smooth as butter in solo. But She-Hulk Justice, her kit allows for so much jack of all trades that she's capable of doing so many different things. She has very good aggression when she needs it, and she has very good threat control when you have to get that threat down. On top of the fact that she also has some AoE and some card draw, she is, in my opinion, the most well-rounded, balanced jack-of-all-trades character in the game. Yes, other characters like Captain Marvel and Iron Man can put out more damage, but they also don't have the ability to draw extra cards sometimes. They also don't have the extra threat manipulation that She-Hulk has. Yeah, she is just incredibly strong, and the reason why I run Justice with her, especially in solo, is because, yes, she does have some threat management, but by adding Injustice, you increase that threat management to a whole new level, allowing you to take the time that it takes to build your board the way it needs to be to go off with a Gamma Slam and a couple 1-2 punches to finish off the villain.
Yeah, I found She-Hulk and Black Panther are the two best, like, jack-of-all-trade characters. Black Panther is similar, where he's got some aggression cards, he's got a really good card draw support, he's got an ally that fishes things out of his deck for him. And then the way he works, he's kind of, I would say Iron Man's more of a Voltron character, but he's a character where you want to build up four specific upgrades from his hero deck, and then you have five cards that let you trigger those four upgrades. So you want to get a bunch of things on the board and then cycle your deck a bunch of times looking for these five events. But based on the order you pick for the events, some do damage, some do AoE damage, some do healing, some do threat removal. So you can kind of get whatever you need on the turn you need it. But what I like best about him is depending on what villain you fight, you might want to have a different upgrade first. And he has a setup ability that lets you pick your first upgrade that you get into your hand. So you can, if you mulligan really bad and don't get like the threat removal upgrade you need, you can then add it to your hand just to make the whole game smoother.
Yeah, but with his upgrades, you do have to do the Wakanda Forever to get those upgrades.
Yeah, you have to search for those cards then. So you really need to thin your deck.
Which is my only problem I've had with Black Panther is I feel his one threat management card is too little. It only removes one threat most of the time. Sometimes you can get it up to two, but I feel it is a little weak considering you're going to have to use a Wakanda Forever to activate it.
Yeah.
I think in that instance, it should have been 2-4 instead of 1-2.
That makes sense. And so I compensate that instead of using Justice, using Leadership, because I just get a bunch of allies in the board and have them thwart for me. It's also nice that he has 2/2/2 stats, so he can attack for two or thwart for two. So he can, if he needs to double thwart or something, somehow he can do that.
Yeah, and I would say that that is Black Panther's lane is leadership. He is an amazing leadership character, and that's by far my favorite combination with him.
Sweet. So the other half of the core set is a bunch of villain and module and encounter and scheme cards. So you pick your hero, you pick an aspect, and you make a 40-card deck. And then you're flipping between hero and alter ego to balance whether you're doing your day job or fighting the villain. And there's obviously a main villain. So the core set comes with three villains, Rhino, Claw, and Ultron, scaling up in difficulty in that order. And each villain kind of has like a scheme they're trying to complete and a villain deck. And then you mix other cards into that villain deck, like a standard encounter deck. And there's a, I think there's an expert mode one, and then there's a bunch of modules. So what are you guys most excited about in the villain encounter decks? And are there any cards you want to not necessarily spoil, but tell people to be warned of?
Yeah, definitely. Out of the villains that I've played, I've had the most fun playing against Ultron. He is a little difficult to deal with sometimes. If you go with Ultron and you are playing Justice, I would highly suggest grabbing the interrogation rooms. I don't think interrogation room is that great versus Rhino, but versus Ultron, interrogation room is an easy three of in your deck. What it does is anytime you defeat a minion, you can tap or exhaust it to remove one threat. While with Ultron, he is constantly producing little 1/1 minions. This allows you to just control that threat the entire time that you need him to. So normally it's a card that's overlooked because Rhino, it's just not needed versus Rhino. There's not enough minions. But against Ultron, definitely change up your deck and look at running interrogation rooms.
But just as a thought, with the modular encounter sets, you could create an instance where that could potentially have value if you were to run encounter sets that had lots of minions in it, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you can't really prepare for everything. So when I talk about encounter sets, generally it's going to be the ones that are assigned to them on their encounter card. Anything beyond that, or like, say you add Masters of Evil into Ultron, it's going to change the way you play Ultron because you're going to lose some drone stuff. You're going to get some really heavy hitting minions. So unfortunately, you just can't, you can't optimize for that. So when I deal with optimizing, I'm generally going to be talking about what comes with the stock.
Or instead of unfortunately, fortunately, because, you know, without challenges, then the game would be boring, right?
Oh, man, wait till you play Ultron on hard mode. You we'll be talking about challenging.
Oh, yeah, it seems really difficult. Watching some of the videos and stuff, it seems really difficult.
Yeah, definitely, I would agree with what you said. For Ultron, look for, I don't know if each aspect, but a lot of the aspects have a card that deal with minions. So in leadership, there's an ally card, Hawkeye. He got spoiled in the article this week. But every time a minion enters play, you can remove an arrow counter from him up to four times. And he deals 2 damage to the minion as it comes into play. So as those little Ultron drones get created, he can just snipe them off for you. So then you don't have to worry about the minions, and you can just deal with the boss and the threat.
Yeah, even Aggression has a really good card, which I generally don't play, but I think it is good in Ultron. It's like 3 to do 5 damage to a minion. If you used a certain resource, any damage is overflowed to the villain, which is a great card in Ultron versus Ultron.
Yeah, and what Lester said is the thing I'm most excited about in the villain decks. I feel like whether it's solo or 2-player or 3-player, there's so much variety in the core set because there's that modular encounter that you mix in that you can fight Rhino 5 different times on easy mode and 5 different times on hard mode, and it's going to feel different based on these extra cards that come in. Most of the modules are like small little 5-6 card sets, but they still change the system a lot. And as we get more, that'll be even more important.
And don't forget, Adding in those expert cards are insane too.
Yeah, it just tickles me pink, the idea that you can add any modular encounter, or you can mash them up and put multiples in and the fact that the new villain decks that are coming out, that they have multiple modular encounters in them as well. So like, it's just so intriguing. Such great care, I think, was taken in the design of this game.
So that's kind of an overview of the core set. Heroes, villains, a bunch of tokens, obviously, because it's an LCG. There's some dials in this game, too, which we're familiar with from Lord of the Rings. So cool stuff to look forward to. So Crimson and I have played a lot of the game on Tabletop Simulator. So we wanted to take a minute and talk about some technical topics in the game. So do you have a deck you want to like give us an overview of, and we can throw a link to it in the comments?
I don't have a deck. I have three cards that I want to talk about that I'm seeing a lot of. And I kind of want to just talk like a mini review of these three cards. And the three cards, and you'll recognize them right away: First Aid, Haymaker, Emergency. First Aid is, these are all neutral cards. So First Aid is one cost, action, heal two damage from any character. Haymaker is two cost, hero action, attack, deal three damage to an enemy. And then Emergency is zero cost, interrupt, thwart. When the villain schemes, reduce the amount of threat placed on the scheme by one. In my opinion, there is a great, a good, and a, oh my god, this is terrible card in this group.
Can we guess the order?
Go for it.
I think First Aid is great because it really helps. What I use it on is allies. Allies take damage usually every time they attack or thwart, and they go away. But if you can pay one to give an ally two health back, a lot of times you get like the best ratio of damage or threat removal to cost with First Aid.
I agree with First Aid, not only just your allies, but your if you're playing this with two players, three players, First Aid becomes MVP in a lot of situations. It also allows you to keep like a daredevil around longer. Can also keep some like a
Vision.
Yes, thank you. Who's gonna do a ton of damage. So if you're playing with a leadership Black Panther, you're like, here, let me heal him up. It's a wonderful card when you start thinking about using it on allies versus using it on heroes who already have a built-in recovery mechanism.
So I think Haymaker is good. It's kind of meh, right? It's not the best ratio of damage to energy cost. It does have a lightning bolt resource, which is good for a lot of decks. But it's the lowest like damage ratio you can get for resources, which isn't bad because it's a basic card that can be used by everybody, every hero. It should be the lowest, but it's just good.
Yep. And the reason why I consider it just good also is almost every hero has a very impressive attack card. Spider-Man has Webkick. Iron Man has Repulsor Blast. I mean, they all have an incredibly strong attack, and I don't think you need Haymaker in most cases. Now, there are some use case scenarios where you do want it. Say you're playing against weaker minions, or you need that lightning bolt energy from it. Then I definitely could see running two or three of them in the deck. But for the most part, unless you're going, you know, to the flagpole in damage, I don't think Haymaker's a needed card, but definitely can be easily slotted in.
And I'll let you talk about Emergency.
I hate this card. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Me too.
I hate it. Every time I look at a deck and I see Emergency, I stop looking at the deck. This card is trash. And okay, there are some niche times when it could be useful, especially in solo play. But what makes this card really trash is that it isn't just remove a threat from a scheme. It is reduce the threat after a villain schemes. So the villain has to scheme.
Exactly.
You lose a card. It's only one threat. I would have preferred this card to cost one and remove two threat, period, not having no scheming stuff. As it is right now, this is not worth a slot in your deck. There are better options.
Yeah, like the only time I've seen it used well other than just for the lightning bolt resource, because we don't have choices, is if you really need to go to hero mode and recover, and you have three emergencies in your hand, you can be like, okay, I can let him scheme. That's okay. But when do you want to do that? Never. That's
yeah. And it still gets blocked by Confuse too, because it has the thwart parentheses in it. So it can be, that might be one of those niche things when you want to remove Confuse, this could get rid of it, but it's so such a small window. It is just not worth running in your deck if you don't need the extra lightning.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I wish it had been like pay one to remove two threats or something like that. I mean, that's really efficient. Like the four justice is pay two to remove four threat if you use a certain resource type. So one for two is like super efficient, but there's got to be a way that it could have been better than what it is.
Yeah. Even at zero cost, just it's still a card. It's still a card.
So, like, do you think there's a risk of a lot of cards like that being printed that are, like, kind of like filler cards that have no application? Or, like, because that one, like, from what you guys have said, and I was just looking at the card text online, like, I can't even see them designing a hero or aspect cards where that card becomes valuable. Like, it seems like that is destined to just be in the box. Always. So
they could make some crazy cards. Like, you could have some upgrade out that says, when the villain schemes for zero, do this super awesome thing. And they have, the hero has a bunch of things that try to reduce the villain's scheme value. But that would be like super like unique to that character. Like, you want all these basic cards to be like, at least considered to be usable by all the characters out there, right?
Yeah, but even like then, what Crimson was saying, it's a card. Like, yes, it does function as a resource, and it is an energy resource, so that helps the Iron Man, Captain Marvel thing that we were talking about earlier, but it's still a card in your deck. So that, and I think cards are even more at a premium as far as their value as a resource in and of themselves in a game where you're playing with a smaller deck size. Like, you're playing with like 40 cards. It's 40 to 50 cards is the standard deck size, as far as I understand.
Yeah. And the other thing to think about is, like, when you're looking at a 40 card deck, say you're drawing four cards. Yeah. You know, say you're playing She-Hulk and you're drawing four cards. You draw this, that took up a card that could have been better. Just for statistics, you shouldn't run this card unless it is a very niche situation. I do think we will see more filler cards like this in bigger box. I don't think we'll see them in the hero box, little hero packs, but Fantasy Flight does have a tradition of printing filler cards. If you've ever played Legend of the Five Rings, there are filler cards, and the bigger, when they give you more cards, you have more chances for filler.
Yeah, I use this card in one deck. I have an Iron Man Justice deck I've been playing on stream a lot this week. And basically what I did is I took all the energy resources from Justice and all of the neutral energy resources I could and crammed them into a deck. So it's got like 26 or 27 energy symbols. So you're just banking on, let's Repulsor Blast three times and see if we can win the game. And it's a fun combo. I mean, it works quite often, actually, when you have over half your deck as energy resources. But literally, as soon as a pack comes out that has anything that's not emergency, that card will go away.
Yeah.
Like, I think I was looking at the Captain America spoilers, and it looks like the Justice card has a Lightning Bolt resource. So I'm a little bit excited about that.
Is the art at least cool on emergency?
It's okay. I mean, it's not bad art. I don't know who's in the art. And can we talk about that for a moment? I really think that they should put the hero or villain's name on the bottom of the card who's in the artwork. So that way we know who they are. Overpower used to do that a lot.
Yeah. What I wish they would do is I wish they would put the like issue that the art came from at the bottom of the card. Like, if this art came from Iron Man Volume 1, whatever, then I can go look it up in the Marvel app.
Now, do we know that all the art was taken from actual comics and none of it was sourced strictly for this game?
Yeah, no, that was going to be my question also. Is I'm not sure if this art is... I mean, I feel like this art is made for the card game. Like, they have their own artists and stuff. I don't think it was pulled from a comic book, although it looks so much like a comic book.
Yeah, a lot of the art looks like it's just sourced through the freelance art department in FFG. I don't know if they are taken, and maybe they will.
I think a lot of them are, because some of them, the art is the same as another Marvel card game that I play.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's not all of them, but a ton of them are.
Yeah, it probably came as part of the intellectual property license that they got for it. I'm assuming they get access to like a big database of images and stuff. But I agree, like if they were to use images from actual comic books, that would be a really a neat thing to have. Or at least like, say you buy the hero pack or whatever to have in the insert, because a lot of them would have like a story, like in Netrunner, there'd be a story in the little insert that came with the pack. So, you know, you could do something like that. Like these are the issues where these images came from or whatever. I'm curious to see what those inserts will be like in the expansion packs.
I sort of assumed they were all just clips from comic books because in their other card games, they always say who the illustrator is on the bottom. So then you can go get them signed at a comic convention or whatever. So it's kind of interesting that like none of the cards I've seen so far say who the illustrator was.
Also, we have seen the core set unboxing. And can I just say what a missed opportunity it was not to have a mini comic book in the core set with that focused around the five heroes in the core set. And then with the hero packs, they could have had like a little mini Captain America comic or a little mini Miss Marvel comic. I think they should have really thought about doing something like that.
Yeah, or even like a digital credit for a comic book or something like that. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great point that was a missed opportunity.
I hope they start doing more cross promotion. Because, I mean, if you look at comic book ads back in the 90s when we were all in our heydays of card games, like there were Magic ads and like mad ads for every CCG ever in every comic book ever. And nowadays they just started putting like Star Wars Destiny ads in the back of Star Wars comic books, which was like a no-brainer, but it took them a year to figure it out. And
the best ad I ever saw back in the 90s was for a video game called Battletech, which was done by Wizards of the Coast. And it had a picture of a Mad Cat on it with its guns pointed at a Sarah Angel and saying, "Tap this." Greatest ad
ever. I would love if they had like alt art hero cards that they worked out with Marvel to like include with a comic book or like with a movie purchase or something. That would be such good advertising for this game.
Yeah, because Arkham Horror does their novellas where you buy the novella and you get some promo cards. I also think Legend of the Five Ring does that. I have the Phoenix book, which came with like a full art, alt art Phoenix cards in it. So I'm looking forward to something like that.
So I didn't have any decks to talk about this week either. I kind of talked about the Iron Man Justice one already, where you try to really optimize on energy. I'm more of a combo player, so you're going to see these crazy combo decks out of me. One card that I learned a lot about this week that I wanted to bring up was Repulsor Blast. So that is a card from Iron Man set. Find me the text here. So it's a one-cost event. It's a hero action. It's an attack. You deal one damage and then discard the top five cards of your deck. And for each printed energy resource discarded this way, you deal two more damage. And what I like about this card, there's a lot of things. First of all, you're going through your deck really fast. So you might discard things that you cared about, but Iron Man comes with ways to fish things out of the discard pile. And the thing that I wanted to talk about in technical stuff this month is that really – the best thing about this game is that you see every card in your deck by the end of the battle, or at least you should, because you can just burn through your deck so fast by drawing up to your hand size every turn. So you should constantly be spending things, and your deck is a resource like that. So Repulsor Blast discards five cards, which helps you burn through your deck to find things faster. But also, it deals one, and then it deals all the other damage. So I've been playing this wrong for like 2 weeks, but if a villain has tough, it blocks all the damage from an attack or something, or from the next damage source. But a Repulsor Blast has two damage sources, the initial damage, which is just one, and then the bonus damage. So a lot of times with this combo deck, if you flip four energy symbols, you're dealing eight extra damage. But instead of all nine being blocked by tough, only one damage is blocked by tough, and then you get eight more damage through. And it's a thing I've seen a lot of people misplay. So pay attention in the cards. If it calls out multiple damage sources, you can get around tough, which a lot of the villains have and can be really annoying really easily.
No, that's a very, I honestly did not think about that, because I'm so used to other card games where you cannot interrupt the text on the card. But with this one, because the damage sword, because it specifically says deal one damage, then, which makes a huge difference having that word then in
there. Reading it, it doesn't say then, so I'll read the text exactly. Deal one damage to an enemy and discard the top five cards from your deck. For each lightning bolt resource, deal two additional damage to that enemy, but it's like separate sentences. So I guess this is where we need RRG, but I think that would be two separate damage sources still. Can't guarantee.
Yeah, that would be interesting, because it doesn't say then, and it says additional. So, yeah, that would definitely be I would be 50-50 on that right now.
I already submitted the question. Don't worry. Hopefully we get an answer.
There you go.
So, yeah, but the thing I want to talk about is burn through your deck really fast. I've played a lot of games, a lot of multiplayer games this week, actually, two- and three-player games. And I noticed I played a three-player game yesterday, and I think I went through my deck three times, and everybody else went through their deck once. And I felt really bad because I kept getting extra hazard cards for it, but it didn't bother me that much because I was constantly just flowing through damage and healing and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, that is definitely what you are paying for, seeing more cards in one way or another.
Sweet. Lester, did you have any research topics to talk about this week?
No, I'm just waiting for the game to come out. I really want to explore. I want to explore solo play really deeply. I want to do... One thing I'm really curious about is how efficient and easy it will be to play two-handed. So play Captain Marvel and Black Panther, but as a solo player, if that's too clunky to pull off. And I need to get my hands on the actual game itself and get some games in. So I'm way behind the curve from you guys, because I can only imagine you guys have played 50 plus games each. So as far as the technical aspect of it is concerned, I'm still more in the speculation phase and the pie eye in the sky with excitement kind of phase,
Lester, we need to get you a laptop, man.
No, I just need to get Marvel Champions, the card game, and put it on my table. I much prefer that feeling, the smell, even the smell of the cards when they're in your hand.
Oh, I hear you. I'm the same way. I can't wait to play with physical cards. I've done a little bit of two-handed online. I've tried three-handed, and I just got too overwhelmed in the computer setup. But two-handed wasn't too bad. I've played a lot of the other co-op LCGs multi-handed, and I think that this is probably the easiest one for setup and maintaining what's in people's hands, that you could probably play this one two-handed the easiest of all three.
Yeah, I was watching that Team Covenant. They did the speed playthrough. And I was super impressed at how fast they pulled the box open, they flipped through everything. And both of those guys are pretty elite card game players. But, in under 15 minutes, they had everything set up and they were well into a game. And that's really that really bodes well, I think, for the game. It's something I can put down. I can get in four or five games in an hour and a half session, which seems really exciting to me.
Yeah, I'm also, I cannot wait to play with a couple friends, grab a couple beers, sit back, relax, play some games. I've already ordered my sleeves because I'm weird. I'm going to sleeve every one of the cards in the same sleeve. I'll use a fully clear sleeve because I think the backs look beautiful and I don't want to cover them up. And this way I can easily change out decks, change out everything, because I'm only going to probably buy one core set at the beginning, and I want to be able to make a different deck easily without having to unsleeve, resleeve. So all my cards are going to be sleeved in Dragon Shield clear.
That's what I did with the Lord of the Rings. I had the entire collection up to a certain point, and I had every single card sleeved. It made it really simple to run through and set things up. And I don't think you're that weird. I think anybody who's really heavily into card games, I think the idea of protecting your deck, like protecting your cards, is huge. And like, I agree. I think the clear sleeves, I don't think you can beat them. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I may have also bought a case of Dragon Shield matte clear sleeves.
Yeah, they were on Amazon for what, like $60 for a thousand. Yeah, they were on the sale
last week, and I was like, maybe I should get two of these. I don't know.
Yeah, I hit that sale too, man. We should put an affiliate link up, get a little cash back on that.
Yeah. So we talked about the core set, but we also have a lot of details in the first two expansions for this game. So let's talk about those. Let's talk about the hero first. So same order. So the first hero pack comes out in December, I think, and it's Captain America as a hero pack. So the cool thing about hero packs in this game is everything's going to come pretty much as like a pre-assembled deck with a couple extra cards on top. So the Captain America set comes with a fully playable deck that has 15 hero cards, and it's going to be a leadership deck. So the ad from Fantasy Flight says 17 cards from the leadership aspect and 8 basic cards. It'll also come with an obligation and a nemesis set, and then each other aspect is going to get 3 copies of one card. So that'll be 9 of the cards from his hero pack.
Oh, dude, I'm going to rip him open, throw away the leadership, and make him protection as soon as I can.
We have the opposite opinion. I'm going to take all those lovely leadership cards and throw away the Captain America.
I was going to say, maybe I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like Captain America. I don't know.
I mean, I don't dislike him. I like him too. His thing is going to be perfect for leadership, so I should try that eventually too. But I want to tweak my old decks first. Everybody's going to want to play the new hotness, right?
Like, I mean, he's not Cyclops, but for me, Captain America is really down the ladder, at the very bottom of the ladder for interesting characters to me. He's just like this super soldier. And I guess as a Canadian too, you know, I'm not like hurrah, hurrah, America. So there's just something about the character Captain America, apart from, like, I really like the World War II soldier gets frozen, comes back. That's a neat arc or whatever, but I'm not super hot on him. However, as far as the card game is concerned, I really, really like the mechanics. And, like, I think they've done a good job, from what I can tell, at really capturing kind of, like, the idea of him.
Yeah, and For me, it's his shield aspect. I think that is an amazingly interesting way of playstyle with him. And I'm fully going to use it in a protection. He's going to be probably my group character if somebody else hasn't already claimed him in the group. But yeah, I he's going to be all about protecting my allies and controlling that board with that shield and letting other people do the dirty work.
What's going to be real painful, though, is that first turn encounter flip when they make you discard an upgrade or support you control.
Shh, that card doesn't exist. I'm taking those cards out before we play.
I hate that basic. So there's a basic encounter card, so it's going to be like in every setup forever. And you flip it, and it says the active hero either discards a support or upgrade they control. And without doubt, every time I play Black Panther, that is one of the first two cards I flip, and I'm like, well, there goes one of my upgrades. I'll see you in 40 cards.
It really is, especially when I'm playing Iron Man. I always hit it too. And it's only one card in the whole thing, but I hit it a lot.
Yeah, so Cap, on his Steve Rogers side, he's got a cost reduction that reduces the cost of the first ally played for the round, and then he starts the game with the shield. Is it in play or is it in your hand? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I just checked. So, and you can fish it from your discard pile or your deck. So if you get it in your opening hand, you may as well mulligan it and get an extra card. There's no reason to keep it in your hand. So it lets you fish it out of discard as well.
I think it's important to note too that the Steve Rogers is the first ally played in the round. That does not necessarily mean the Captain America player's allies. That's any ally played. The first ally played by anybody. Exactly. Gets that.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, I think that's so good.
I'm hoping my play partner plays Captain America, and then I can go play Black Panther leadership and go first and steal that boost right away.
It's not stealing, it's sharing. Captain America wants you to use that ability.
I'll play Captain America protection. You can play Black Panther leadership. There you go.
As long as we don't have to play aggression, right?
Yeah.
Hey, all you listeners out there, don't worry. I'll play more than enough aggression for everybody who likes aggression.
So one interesting thing, if you look at the card numbers from his deck for speculation stuff, we haven't seen an expansion yet, so we don't know how they're going to order the cards and card numbers. But from what I can tell so far, there's not like an alphabetical order, or it's not like all the Captain America cards first and then the leadership cards. One of the spoiled cards is the Falcon. And he's card number 11 in the deck, but he's a leadership card. So the first 15 should be, I thought they were going to be Captain America cards, but it's kind of jumbled. So once we've gotten the first pack, we can start doing speculation to fill in the gaps as we get spoilers. That'll be exciting. So yeah, he's all about his shield, getting his shield out, pinging bad guys. Anybody else got anything else they want to talk about with Captain? Any hot takes?
Just the use of the shield seems awesome. Like, he can get it pretty quick in the game, and then the shield, like, can't he defend very similar to Spider-Man's backflip? He can, like, reduce all damage taken from a single attack, and then his he has the shield toss ability, which can hit multiple enemies depending on how many cards you discard or something like that.
Yeah, and with it, the shield is treated like a resource, so if you do the shield block, it requires you to exhaust the shield, which means then you couldn't use it to do the shield toss. So I do like that aspect where they made the shield more of a resource, so you can't just do a whole bunch of shield thingies in one turn.
Yeah, and the basic and other aspect cards I'm actually really excited about. I know we talked about this last month too, but I'm excited that there's a card for each aspect in here. I don't want only leadership cards to gain an advantage. And the cards we've seen so far are pretty cool. I think there's a protection card that, like, it's a zero cost interrupt that when you get attacked while defending, you add 3 defense. So pretty much wipes out the attack usually.
Yep.
So that's like an awesome card.
I want to see the neutral card.
They showed us one, right? The Honorary Avenger, I think. And it,
yeah.
You have to be an Avengers character, like a main character to play it, or hero to play it. And then it's an attachment or an upgrade that goes on an ally. It gives them the Avengers trait and gives them +1 health point. So it's almost like a mini first aid. You don't heal 2, but you give somebody 1, which I think that's pretty cool.
And I really like how by putting 1 each of the non-used aspects into that pack, it encourages different styles of play with those heroes. I think that's really interesting. And the other thing I want to note is that Baron Zemo is the nemesis of Captain America, and I think Baron Zemo is rad.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Honorary Avenger now. So 0 cost, give someone a hit point. You have to have the Avengers trait to play it. It says any friendly character, so you could even play it on yourself and waste the trait you're adding. But just treat it as a give myself 1 extra HP. That'll be awesome for She-Hulk when you want a Gamma Stomp for 15, but not be at 1 health.
What's the resource on?
Physical. Fist.
Okay. And the other thing to think about, too, is, like, if you are looking at protection, Black Widow only has 2 health. This allows her to go to 3, which will allow you to use first aid more optimally on her.
That's one thing that I'm most excited about this deck for, is just having more options of the different resource types. Like we've been talking about, you're including ridiculous cards like Emergency just for the Lightning Bolt or Energy resource. And I'd much rather have more choices to choose from instead of poorer choices to choose from. So for a while, leadership decks are going to be super diverse. And we'll find out soon what's going to be in the Ms. Marvel pack.
If I had to guess, I would assume Ms. Marvel is going to be protection. But she may be Justice. It's 50-50 in my opinion on which one of those she'll be. I do not think she will be Aggression. I think they'll save that for Thor.
She talks in all caps quite a bit.
Well, yeah, I'm banking on Protection. That's what I would assume. Just from reading the comics, I would assume that that's where they'll go with her. And yeah, Thor has definitely got to be Aggression. If Thor's not Aggression, I mean, they're doing something really wrong, and I might have to rethink this game completely.
I mean, I could see Thor also being justice also. He is a god of justice, but I would assume that aggression would be his
cover. He's a god of thunder. Thunder's pretty aggressive.
And we don't have the fourth hero yet, so it's hard to like pinpoint what it's going to be, right?
It better be Wolverine.
You're going to be disappointed, I'm pretty sure.
I think I will be.
Yeah, I think Wolverine will probably show up in the X-Men box, and I can't see them doing it without, like, doing the X-Men without doing a big box expansion. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm 100%, or 99% sure that Wolverine will not be in the X-Men box, mainly because they know that if they put him in a standalone pack, that pack will sell. They don't need to put him in the expansion box. But at the same point, if you do put him in there and then a couple, you know, not so known X-Men, you might sell more that way too. But I would expect he would get his own pack. If they did an X-Men, I would expect, you know, Cyclops, Jean Grey. I would go Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman
for the original four. It'll be interesting to see. They have a lot of history at FFG of putting characters in the box and then maybe not having them included. I know in Imperial Assault, there was this big uproar because the first big box expansion had Boba Fett. Like, the entire cover art was Boba Fett. And he was, like, integral to the campaign in the box, but they just gave you a token and they had you buy a separate pack to play as Boba Fett. So I could see them doing something similar.
Yep, because they want that extra money.
Yeah, or Wolverine is an ally in the X-Men pack. But I could see them doing, like you said, the original five had Angel as well, so it would be the four you said plus Angel. And I could see them doing that. I could see them putting five heroes in an expansion box.
Yeah, I think they'll either do that, or they'll take like five X-Men from different generations of that mythos. So that's the new hero, Captain America. There's also another expansion we know a lot about. And I'm excited for Captain America because the deck building, but I'm way more excited about the Green Goblin, the first scenario pack. So that is November release. And what we know about that is it's a bigger pack. There's 78 cards. It's going to come with two different main schemes that deal with the Green Goblin. So the first one we know a lot more about. It's called Risky Business. That was the one in the preview article. And then the other one has something to do with him and an army of goblins and goblin mutagen or something like that. But I'm really excited for this. So it comes with two new schemes, like main schemes. So the core set had three main schemes. So you're almost doubling like the bad guy or scenario situation of the core set. And it's going to come, it said, with four modular scenarios that you could mix into anything. So you could mix them into the Green Goblin schemes, or you could go back and mix them into Rhino and see if it makes it more challenging.
Yeah, and his mechanic of that first one of flipping between, you know, he's actually the first villain that we've seen with a flip personality on him. And that mechanic is going to be an interesting and fun and challenging mechanic to deal with.
Yeah, so he has a mechanic where he's on a Norman Osborn side to start with, and you can't attack just some businessman randomly. So you have to sort of attack his criminal empire or his business until he gets so crazy that he turns into Green Goblin. It's super thematic. But yeah, so there's going to be four modular packs. That I think the card flipping thing will be really cool. I'm excited to see what the other scheme has, if it's more traditional like the three we're seeing in the core set, or if it's going to be something that uses both sides of his identity again. I'm really excited that there are multiple scenarios per scheme, because at first when I heard there were going to be these villain packs, I was worried that like with Lord of the Rings and with Arkham Horror, you get like new storyline with every pack you get. So you get a little bit of new story every month. But if we ever had two hero packs in a row, you don't have any like new bad guy content to fight against. But since you're getting multiple things per pack, it makes me feel a lot better.
And the art is just absolutely out of this world for that Green Goblin. That the ones I've seen are just beautiful.
Yeah, I really like the color schemes in the background and like the framing. It really stands out.
Yeah, and like you said, the idea of these scenario packs, they're going to cost a little bit more money, but they come with like almost 80 cards and a whole bunch of different modular encounter sets, which, like you said, that's going to take every piece of content you have before you purchase a new scenario pack. you're going to be able to go revisit that and make it completely different, like totally change how that scenario is played out. And that, I think, is the piece de resistance for this game. Like, the almost infinite replayability, as I see it right now.
Yeah, and you'll be able to play out a bunch of cool comic scenarios that we didn't have before with just, like, the generic setups. So I think that was our last topic for today. Has anybody else got anything else to talk about before we wrap up?
No, I'm just really excited for release and really excited to see their next preview event, which will be Miss Marvel.
Yeah, me too. It's snowing like a bugger here. They say it could be the biggest snowstorm in recorded history where I live. So I'm just hunkering down. So,
well, I sit here running my AC and feel bad for you.
I know. I got the windows open. It's, you know, 68 degrees today. It was beautiful today in Omaha.
68 in Canadian terms, you're melting.
Oh, yeah, you guys use that funny, weird metrics.
Yeah, Celsius and meters. Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Well, that's it for today's issue of Marvel Champions Monthly. So check back with us in a couple weeks. We'll probably do a quick one-shot when they do the Miss Marvel preview, so we can talk about that. But then we'll have our next big episode right after launch. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah, stay safe.
Sounds good. We'll see you next time.